Portrait of a Fangirl is a web series and podcast created by Temple of Peak. At the core of the project is telling stories of women who have found inspiration, growth, and power through fandom. My name is Jenna Wren, and I'm the host of the Portrait of a Fangirl podcast, and I'm here today talking with the fabulous Alice Van Chang. How are you, Alice?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me.
Do you just want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Okay, this is always weird for me because I don't think of myself that way. But I guess I'm something of a geek fashion-ish influencer. I think that's like how most people kind of know me, is that like I like to post my geek fashion outfits and talk about the things I love essentially online, mostly on Instagram these days. I used to do it more on Twitter, but you know, that place is sort of a weird limbo bad place.
It's the bad place
these days.
Right. So I just wanted to do a quick recap for our listeners who may not be familiar with you. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, Alice was one of the women who originally inspired the idea of the Portrait of a Fangirl web series and the idea that fangirls are so much more than just the stereotype. The co-creators, Emily Shuck and Monica Duarte, were really taken by the way you used fashion as an expression of your fandom, kind of like what you were just saying. And also by the fact that you really enjoy traveling to places related to your fandoms. Now, that interview for the web series was 4 years ago at this point. Are those still the same ways that you express your fandom now?
I would say generally speaking, obviously because of the pandemic, there's been a lot less traveling, but I still like, it's still like cool, I think, to like go to places that are like related to your fandom, because it's like another way to connect, I guess, to that thing, and also to learn about like the real life places that like your fandoms might be inspired by, you know? So I'm still interested in that. It's just like I'm more, I would say, cautious maybe about like choosing like where I want to go or like how I want to do it, things like that. So I haven't like done any like overseas trips, for example, since 2019.
Right. So you're mostly domestic, like you stay within the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. So I really love the idea of fandom as a window to the world. So can you tell us some of the places that you visited over the years, thanks to fandom?
Oh my gosh. Well, so the last trip I did, overseas trip I did before the pandemic, was in 2019. And we went to, me and like my friends went to Scotland. And that was because like we watch Outlander together. Like we have Outlander watch parties. So for a lot of, like I had kind of wanted to go to Scotland in the past because I had like a massive crush on Ewan McGregor. So it's also a fandom thing.
But who didn't?
I know. So it had kind of been on my like bucket list for a little bit, but you know, it's not like one of the, compared to like London, you know, or Tokyo, it's not really like, I would say, most people's like top destination to go to. But because like me and this group of friends, we started watching Outlander when it started airing as like a group. So suddenly it was like I had all these other people who also wanted to go to Scotland. So it kind of like reignited the desire to go. So that was like our, I would say that was like a pretty fandom based trip, because that was like the main inspo for why we wanted to go, was because we're like, we love Outlander, we love watching it together, and it seems like a cool place to go. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah. So that's like one of the big ones, I guess.
Now, do you feel like on these trips you also are learning more about the history of the place?
Yeah, I like history. So like I usually do like going to like historic sites and things like that. So like for Scotland, yes, a lot of the sites were like places I mentioned in Outlander or that they filmed at. But we also just like looked at things like, you know, obviously that people like tourist spots, I guess. But when we go, we always like look at the exhibits and like read up on it. So it's like really interesting, I guess, like seeing the history of those places and how it's incorporated in the show in some senses, because Outlander is sort of like a historical fantasy.
Right.
And just in general, like experiencing the culture, like the way the people are, and like the Scottish people were so nice, like ridiculously nice. So I would like go back in a heartbeat. It was so fun.
That sounds great. That's actually someplace I'd love to visit. It's on the top of my list. And I've heard only great things about the Scottish people.
Yeah, they are like ridiculously nice. Like one of our big stories is like, obviously we drove around most places, and like during one of our like drives through like a really nature-y area, one of my friends like really needed to go use the restroom, and we literally just stopped at someone's house because she was like, I need to just ask them, like, I'm sorry. So we're like, okay, like, let's stop and ask. And like that person let her use the restroom.
That would never, I feel like it would never happen here.
Yeah, that's why when we left, we were like, oh my god, they were like so nice. And she was like, I never would, she's like, I don't think I would have done that for a stranger.
Right, just a completely different culture, really.
Yeah, so I really want to go to New Zealand because of Lord of the Rings, but also
I was gonna ask.
Yes, so I'm sure Lord of the Rings did a lot of great tourism for New Zealand. I mean, it looks so beautiful. And then the other thing is my current big obsession is like BTS, and they have like a travel show sort of thing that they do. And one of the seasons they go to New Zealand for like a week.
Really?
So yeah, so that's like another reason why I'm like, I want to go where they went.
It's really interesting because you're really exploring the world thanks in part to being a fangirl.
Yeah.
Have you always been a worldwide traveler, or was there a specific fandom or interest that kind of sent you on that path?
I would say I've always kind of been like a traveler in the sense that like my parents, like ever since we were young, kind of put like an emphasis on travel. I don't know if it's because they're immigrants, so obviously they like moved here from another country, but like, and so they used to go back, well, not super often. They're from Taiwan. So when we were young, like I've done a few trips back to Taiwan to see like my maternal grandparents. But so in that sense, it's like that at least is like built in of like a travel, like we would do because of family. But besides that, like, I think they always emphasize, since my sister and I were young, like, that travel should be a thing that you do, because it essentially is, like, expand your horizons, you know? So we always used to do, like, family trips every couple of years, which I guess is kind of unusual, especially as you get older, you know? But, like, some of, like, the bigger trips I've done have been with my family. Like, in 2018... our most recent one, we went to China, and that was like planned by like my mom, and we went with our parents basically, you know? Right. So, and like both me and my sister are like adults now, so I think it's like kind of unusual, you know, to like travel with your parents a lot. But
lovely though. That's really, yeah, nice. You get to kind of have that, you know, your experience in the world, but you also get to make those memories with your family.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, kind of traveling's always kind of like been built in, I guess, to at least like my family DNA. And for our mom has always just said, other than it being fun, is she was like, well, I don't want you to like just like grow up in like a little bubble and think that like this is just like the only way that people live, or like the only way things are done, you know? So I really appreciate that. So that's why it's kind of like when I got older and like, you know, start having my own opinion about stuff and like doing fandom things, it was like natural to be like, oh, well, like what was this based on, or like where did they film this, like that'd be kind of cool to like see if it's a real place, you know?
Right, very interesting. Your family sounds like they're a lot of fun. So what are some tips for fandom traveling that you have? Like, what do you think people really need to know before setting out on these type of adventures?
Research. I definitely, like, I'm not a planner, so again, really grateful for people like my mom who love planning things, or some of the friends I've traveled with that, like, they're better planners than I am. But I would definitely say research, because especially if you're doing other things, like, you want to make sure that you're not, like, wasting time anywhere. Because sometimes the, like, spots are, like, hard to get to, or they're, like, a little bit out of the way, you know? So, like, I think I forget what year it was. Was it 2015? No, I don't know. In the early 2010s.
When pandemic, it was right?
Yeah, it was basically when Sherlock was like really popular.
Right.
And like my sister and I had gone to London. And so we were like, oh, we should just look up some of the places where they shot Sherlock, you know, like where their 221B, like on the show. And so it's like, you can look up where that is. And it wasn't like hard to get to, but it was like kind of out of the way. You know, like it wasn't really like it's in London proper, but like it's not like next to like a big tourist attraction or whatever. So right. Or like a big historical site. So it's like we literally got on, you know, the underground or wherever to get to that spot to take a picture and then had to like leave to the next place. So if you don't want to like waste a lot of time or like there are a lot of things you want to see, I would say definitely like research the things that you want to see. See if it's like worth it to you to like go to, if it's out of the way or like if it costs money to get into. And then that way you can like plan your schedule accordingly. And also sometimes it's like there are places that like you can't get to. So also don't, you know, break any laws, like trust or whatever, you know.
That's a very, very good tip. Yeah. So I mean, getting a good overview basically of where you're going to be, what you want to see, how to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And like also so you don't miss out on something that like you really want to see. So oh my gosh, that reminds me of like a really embarrassing but funny story. Is like this is definitely in 2015. I like did like a US history trip because I'm like really into the revolution. Okay. Yeah. So that like era of US history is like my favorite era, the revolutionary era. And then that was the year that Hamilton went to Broadway. So then I went to I was like, I want to do an East Coast trip. I want to like hit up some of the big like revolutionary era spots, right? And then like go to New York and see Hamilton. So we did like Washington, D.C. and New York and then Boston, like a little bit of like Massachusetts. So when we were in D.C., obviously like we, you know, went to the Smithsonian, we went to the Library of Congress, like that stuff. And then we left and went to New York and I was like posting about it. And like my friend that I was staying with in Boston, she was like commenting on my stories and was like, oh, I can't wait to see you because I was staying with her. And then she goes, did you see the Declaration of Independence? And I was like, what? And she's like, well, you were in DC. Did you go see the Declaration of Independence? And I was like, no. And like, I don't know why. I just like didn't think about it. I don't know. Like, it was just like not something in my brain. But like when she said that, I was like, oh my God. I didn't go.
I was right there.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, definitely think about what you want to see and make sure you know if it's there.
Right.
Yeah. So I did not see the Declaration of Independence and I haven't been back to Washington, D.C. since 2015. So I still have not seen the Declaration of Independence.
Well, you'll have to come do an East Coast trip. I'm in New York and I was in D.C. for a whole semester of college studying American history and never saw the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, we should go together.
Yes, we should. I also feel that way. I'm like, man, I was there to study American history and I did not see the Declaration of Independence. So we'll plan it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's
next on the list.
Yes.
Stay tuned for a portrait of a fangirl.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do a special episode about us finally seeing the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. So you're well known on Instagram and in the geek fashion community for your pop culture inspired looks, as you touched on briefly before. Mm. How did your journey into fashion begin and how does it compare to your style now?
Oh my gosh. It's so weird because like I said, I don't really think of myself that way. And like growing up, I wouldn't say I was like a fashion person. If anything, like in high school, I think I was just like known for like accessories. Like I love jewelry, right? But yeah, so I don't really know like too much how that happened. Like I used to not post pictures of myself too much on Instagram either. It would just be like my dog, right? Like, or like some, what I ate. But I feel like it must have been like when kind of like the early days of Disney bounding, I think when it was like starting to get more popular and then other people were doing So I think it was like Disney Bound wasn't quite like super well known yet. And then like other girls were doing like those geek fashion challenges. And I think I was just like, well, I mean, I like to dress in theme sometimes, like when I go to places where I'm like, oh, this would be cute because it's like if I'm going to like an art museum, right? Like, oh, I have a shirt with like, you know, Van Gogh, like sunflowers on it. Like, I'm going to wear that if I'm going to a museum and there's like a Van Gogh exhibit. So I think when I saw that, I was just kind of like, well, that seems kind of fun. So maybe I'll just do it. So I think there was one called Nerdvember that like, I think that's actually how I found Jordan, like from Jordan Dene, because I think she participated in it. She didn't run it. It was by two other girls that I can't think of right now. I think one of them is the owner of like, they used to be called Gold Bubble Clothing, but I think they're called Pop Galaxy now. I think she was one of the original like people who hosted that, the Nerdvember thing. And basically it was like they had like 30 prompts all through November, and it was like, participate as you will, and I think they gave prizes. So very similar to how the Sartorial Geek challenge is run. And then so I was just like, well, I have a bunch of geek clothes now, you know. So, you know, mostly t-shirts. Back then it was mostly like graphic tees. So I was like, well, that'd be fun. Like I can do that. Like if it's Star Wars, I'll wear a Star Wars t-shirt, and I have like, you know, like galaxy leggings. So I'll like do an outfit with that because it's like themed space. And I think that's how I just sort of like got into it, because, you know, everyone who participated was like really nice. I think it's just fun, like for all of us to see other women doing something like that. And you're like, oh, wow, like look at everyone's different fashion, or like you discover new brands. Like, oh my gosh, like like I said, I think that's how I found Jordan. Because I think, I don't know if Jordan participated or one of the other participants, like, had a Jordan Dene shirt, and I was like, that's so cute, like what is that brand, you know?
Yeah, so it kind of creates like almost like a sense of community, basically. You're all kind of seeing that you have the same interests and creating like a little community there.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's just how I started doing it, and then like I was like, well, I guess it's fine, like I guess I'll post more pictures of myself when I like my outfit. And I think it helped, like when my sister and I like finally went to Comic-Con for the first time, because then I was like, every day I want to have like a different themed outfit. So like I like actually planned out my outfits like that first year. I mean, I plan out my outfits like every year now, but that year it was very like, you know, it was new. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this day it's gonna be like Star Wars space themed, and then like this day I have like this, I don't know, like a Hannibal themed thing, like I'll wear plaid and like flower crown, you know, like that sort of thing. So I think like that sort of like boosted me more into being like, oh, I want to do this. And then like I said, like Disney Bounding started getting big, so like I was like, oh, that's like such a cute idea. It's sort of like something I already do, I just like never, you know, I didn't have like a name for it,
right?
And I was like, it's so cool that other people like have the same idea, and like it's cute and it's easy, like it's meant to be kind of like, you know, easy to do. So like all those things I think helped me like get into it.
Very cool journey for you there. So as you mentioned, you have modeled, or I'm sorry, let me restart that question. Sorry, Monica. You mentioned Jordan Dene before, and yes. I know you have modeled for Jordan and Elhoffer Designs as well. What has your experience with brand partnership been like?
Generally positive. Like I said, I'm not really like a big, like I would, like I don't call myself an influencer really, so I don't have like a big account, so I don't get like many like brand sort of partnership type requests. But like you said, mostly my two major ones are Jordan and Elhoffer. And then it's like Jordan I know personally, so it's like always fun to like do stuff with her, because she's really chill. And like literally, I think the only like professional, I guess, like photo shoot I did with her was when I was just visiting New York. I was like, I want to see you. And then she was like, oh, I have some new stuff. If you have time, do you mind coming to take some pictures? So I was like,
that's
okay.
So fun.
Yeah. So like that is like, it was very casual, really chill. And it was just like a hangout for us. With Elhoffer, it's also just kind of like, I like, knew Katie from just interacting with her online and seeing her, like, you know, amazing, like, designs, right? So it's just one of those things where I'm like, I was grateful that they, like, reached out to me to just be like, oh, kind of like, you've been a long time, like, fan and customer. Would you be interested to, you know, work with us, like, do something with us? So also with them, it's more set up like a, you know, like a professional photo shoot, but, like, everyone is, like, super nice, and, like, most people that they ask are, like, amateurs, you know, like, I'm not, like, a model, so I totally know what I'm doing, like, crush the posing or whatever, but they're very supportive, and, like, so it's a very, like, comfortable atmosphere with them, so.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so it's been good. I think, I mean, I met all these people through the community, you know, like, fandom community, so in general, working with both of them has been, like, very comfortable and fulfilling and, like, nice, because it is just kind of turns into, like, a little bit of a hangout, like, we all just catch up with each other, you know?
Right, so it's, like, a little mixture of business and pleasure, I guess you could say, right?
Yes.
So what is your personal philosophy to staying authentic and true to yourself while also supporting these different brands?
I just try to think of it, like, how I enjoy social media is that, like, I understand that, like, especially for influencers, that it is, like, a business for them, right? Like, it's easy for me, I think, to be authentic because I just post on my account as a private citizen, you know, like,
right.
So it's like the stuff I post really is just, like, the things I'm doing or the things that I like. So for me, I'm like, if I really like a brand or want to support, you know, small business, I just, like, talk about it. But I also think about, like I said, for, like, big influencers, or, like, sometimes when I am doing something for, say, Jordan or, like, her universe, it's like there are brand obligations. So, like, for big influencers, obviously they have a lot of brand obligations. So I try to, like, understand that, like, well, you want to fulfill the brand obligations, but as a person who's, like, on social media, I don't want to always be, like, sold to, you know?
Right.
So I think for me, it's, like, I just try to think about, like, well, if I've, like, already posted, you know, this many things and they all sound like ads, like, I should chill out. Like, I don't have, like, 5 posts in a row that's all, like, buy this, there's a sale here, whatever. You know, like, I try to think about, like, you know, if I was just, like, a regular person, like, scrolling, like, I want to see the stuff, but I don't necessarily want to always feel like, oh, buy, you know? So, but like I said, like, if I really like something, I'll talk about it. But I am just, like, a little bit aware of, like, is this coming off like a sale post? So, like, sometimes it's like, I won't talk about it too much, but I'll, like, at least tag the things, you know?
But you personally like.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, I really like this outfit, but I'm not trying to make it seem like, oh my god, go buy this, or, like, you know, because I'm a brand ambassador for this, like, go buy this thing. I'll just be like, oh, well, like, I wore this outfit, it was cute, and I do like these brands, people might want to know, so I'll write my, like, little caption about what I'm doing, and then I'll just, like, tag the things that I'm wearing, you know?
Right, so then people can find it, you know, that way. It's more of, look at this, I got it here, if you want to check it out, you can check it out, sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, or, you know, ask me about it, and that's totally fine. Like, you can ask me about it.
Right. But, yeah. So you're open to communication on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting more to the present, I know we talked about the pandemic, but now fast forwarding to present times, sometimes it feels like we're really stuck in a time loop where things that women love or that women contribute are not taken seriously.
Always.
And, you know, it doesn't change. It really is a time loop. Mm-hmm. Despite the years of discussion around the subject. For example, recently there were some jokes that Joe Coy made during the Golden Globes at the expense of Taylor Swift and the Barbie movie. Or there was that viral TikTok where Or there was the viral TikTok where psychologist Sadia Khan said, do we need more women in Star Wars? No, we don't. And women don't even like Star Wars. Do you feel these moments are uniting us? Or do you think it's becoming more divisive among fangirls?
I feel like it's still, I feel like those moments still unite us in the sense that, like, I mean, like, even for me, like, that Star Wars thing, I haven't, like, super been posting that much, like, or that excited about Star Wars a little, for a little while. But, like, hearing that, like, got me so mad.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, like, the same thing that you said where you're, like, are we really having this discussion again?
Again, yeah.
That, like, it just, like, it definitely got me fired up again a little bit, and I actually posted about Star Wars, right? To be like, no, we've been here, we will still be here. So I do think it's like those moments, while they suck, I do think they still like bring people together, because it was really nice for me, at least with that Star Wars thing, because like I said, I haven't been like, in the last couple years, I've been a little bit more distant from the fandom, but like seeing the people who responded to that, like with posts and reels and stuff of their own, like a lot of those girls are not like the same women that like I necessarily saw around when I was super active in the fandom. So for me, it was like super nice because I'm like, wow, see, like it's true though. Like fangirls have always been here and they'll continue to be here, because I'm like, look at all these new fans that like I've never seen some of these accounts before, or like, right. You know, none of these people, like literally the Galactic Coven stuff we did was in 2020, you know, like, and I saw so many new fangirls then because we got so many like interactions and like participation in our community events, even though it was all online, obviously. But it was like, I feel like I was like, wow, like look at all these fangirls. I've like never seen so many fangirls before. It like felt so good. But like the girls who were doing their responses to like that Star Wars soundbite were like girls who like were not part of that wave of stuff that like I personally experienced, you know? So for me, it was like really nice because I'm like, well, look at this. People are still finding Star Wars or like getting into it, or because they saw like, you know, a new wave of like Star Wars fangirls who are like becoming like influencers in the community, like they're really getting into it or like feel comfortable showing their stuff, you know?
Right.
So I feel like in general it's still like uniting. It's just like frustrating that these opinions or things still happen. Right. When you're like, how many times have we shown that like there is like a female audience that like enjoys these like nerd properties, you know? Like I don't know the like actual statistics, but most of the time I'm like, I think we spend more money than the boys do on these fandoms. So I like really do not know why like it takes so long for like the, I guess like the needle on society to like move even just a little bit on this.
It's such a silly thing. Like I feel like a lot of times it's the, you know, sometimes the loudest voice isn't the most accurate voice to represent people, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope with bigotry and misogyny in fandom?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm lucky that I haven't like experienced too much of it like directly. Again, I think partly because I'm not like a big account, but I do see like these big accounts who get a lot of this like pushback. And I think it's just that thing where like you do have to realize that like online isn't everything.
Right.
You know? So, and I feel like the pandemic helped in that sense because we were all chronically online.
Yes.
During the pandemic. And then it made me realize that like too much of that really is a bad thing. Cause I think you start like fixating on like really dumb things that like do not matter, or like things that like I would be like, why am I getting mad about this? Like this doesn't usually affect me. But I'm like, oh, I realize it's because I like am stuck at home. I have nowhere to go. Yeah. So I'm like constantly seeing like this annoying behavior from like, you know, certain people or like on, you know, on Twitter or whatever. So I think like obviously it sucks if someone's like in your comments or like in your tweets coming at you like trying to fight you, but I really do, especially these days, like prescribe to like the idea of like online isn't everything, and you do just have to like protect your energy and space, you know? So, and I know it's hard because for some people online is like their main community. So I know it could be like hard to disengage, or like you don't have a support system in real life, but it is that thing where you're like, where I'm like, sometimes something that's like really upsetting me from like online, if I log off and like go hang out with my friends in real life, or like spend time with my family, or like walk my dog, you're like, oh, there is like an outside world. And like, right. Not everyone, like I was so mad about like, you know, like the Star Wars soundbite, but like out in the physical world, like people don't even know that happened, you know? Like I have like friends who aren't chronically online, but who are into Star Wars, who are like, what happened? And I'm like, look right. at this peaceful, wonderful life they're living, you know? So it's kind of like, you don't have to fight like every battle, I think is the main thing. Like I would just really think about where you want to spend your energy, because it's taxing. And like a lot of these like haters and trolls like don't deserve your energy or your time, and it's not like you're going to change their minds anyway, you know?
Right. Some people just exist to push buttons, and I think mm-hmm. it's hard to, you know, it's hard, especially if you're somebody who is sensitive. Like I'm a sensitive person, so sometimes, you know, you can't completely ignore it, but like you said, stepping away and remembering that sometimes the algorithm and the niche you're in dictates what you see too, I think is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So I think yeah. that's really good advice. What is your advice to fangirls who are struggling to find their place in fandom?
I would just say to like, it could take a while, but you should just kind of like, you kind of have to put yourself out there a little bit. And I know it's hard because yeah. I swear I'm like an introvert and I'm not really social. Like in person, I'm pretty quiet. I'm like not a conversation starter, but like do what you feel comfortable about. You do kind of have to put yourself out there. Like we said, it is a community. So like if you're trying to find people that you mesh with, you have to participate in the community. You know, I'm not saying you have to like post pictures of yourself or like, you know, write like some crazy essay or whatever. But like, I think it's just as easy as if you see something that you like comment on it, right? So I think a lot of creators like will take the time to like respond to their comments. So, I mean, that's why their comments are open, right? So right. like, I would just say like, participate, and like, I feel like you'll naturally find people that like are into the same things as you. Like I said, with Jordan or even with like Elhoffer, it's like because I like when I like really like something of theirs, I like comment on it, you know? So, and obviously you're not gonna get like, not everyone's gonna be like super friendly or like super talkative, but like some people are, and like those might be the people that you like end up really clicking with and like becoming friends with.
Right. You just basically never know what's gonna happen.
Exactly. So you do just have to put yourself out there a little bit.
Get out there.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about you is that you seem to always be surrounded by other fangirls. Whether it's fangirling over at Marvel or BTS, you seem to be surrounded by people who really do share your enthusiasm and your love for fandom. How did you come to find your community of friends?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because I've realized in recent years that like I really was really lucky that like I found people like other weird girls, I guess, early on, like in school. So like a lot of my, like not a lot, but like some of my oldest fangirl friends are my friends from like middle school and high school.
Right. You shared those that early love for things with, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, like, yeah, like my oldest Star Wars friend is because we literally got into Star Wars in high school together around like Phantom Menace time, you know? So, or I mean, sorry, around Attack of the Clones. Phantom Menace had already come out. but yeah, so it's kind of hard for me to say like, how did I find them? Because I think I've just been like lucky in that, like, at least I had like a real life, like support system from the start. But like, I guess like in the newer stuff, it's just like, it's kind of like I said, you kind of just have to like put yourself out there. And I think when you yourself are like, I think when you yourself are very positive and enthusiastic about the things that you love, it like attracts people, you know? Right. So I think it like attracts people. So it's like, again, if you don't like being the conversation starter, but you like are really passionate about, you know, like Star Wars, or like you're really passionate about Loki, and you just right. like, you know, are just like posting for yourself out into the void of the internet, like I feel like there are people who will find you who will be like, oh my god, like I love that thing too, I don't have anyone to talk to about that, you know? So I think that's like my feeling on it, is that like I think if you, some people, it's like we said, I think all these, the fangirl community, like find each other, because for a lot of girls it's hard to see themselves in these like male dominated spaces. So when you see someone who's like out there being like public about how much they love something or whatever, then I think it helps make you kind of like braver to like, I can show that I love that thing too, or at least I can talk to this person even if everyone else in my life doesn't understand why I'm like being so crazy about this like fictional character, you know, or whatever. So I do think it is just like, I guess it's like, I'm probably like dating. You just have to like slowly get to know people. Yeah, but you do, like, I would just say, really, be you. Don't be embarrassed about like what you like, because I guarantee there's someone out there who also likes that weird thing, and that you will find each other somehow.
Right, the like-minded attract like-minded.
Yes.
Right. You have mentioned all these different fandoms that you love, and you have journeyed in these spaces for quite a long time. Have yes. you noticed that? Have you noticed that any difference between the different fandoms?
I mean, I think sometimes it's just like, I think the biggest thing I've noticed recently is I'm like, so like I said, I'm really into like BTS right now, and like, so kind of like bleeding into other K-pop. And I definitely, for that, I feel like it's like a younger fandom. My impression of it is that like it is more like teenagers and like early 20s, and obviously I'm not any of those ages anymore, so for me I'm like, wow, that's like young,
you know? These are young babies.
Yeah, these are young people. So like I think that's like the biggest thing for me, because it's like I do feel like in something like Star Wars or Marvel you have like a bigger range of like these young people, but also obviously there are people from like, you know, who like got into like have grown up reading Marvel comics or DC comics, or, you know, people who are like, I was 11 when my dad took me to see Star Wars. Yep. And I've been like in it since. So it's like it's a bigger range of like people who are like a lot older than me, and people who are my age, and then like these young people who are like discovering it for the first time. But in K-pop, it does feel very like a young, quote, young people thing.
It's like I would almost say like newer here, at least. It's become yes. more mainstream here.
Yes. Yeah. So it does feel like, to me, it's like a little bit, well, it doesn't help. Not like it doesn't help, but the fact that like the idols themselves are like in that like young 20s age range obviously dictates like their audience is like age range too. It's been pretty interesting because like with BTS, at least, because they are like slightly older, like a couple of the members just turned 30,
so oh, they're like, yeah, they're 20s. A little older.
Yeah, they're like late 20s. They've been around for like a long time for K-pop. their fandom, I would say, is like wider. So like when I got into it, it didn't feel like too different, because it was like these other fandoms where it felt like, oh, there's like a pretty big age range, or like a lot of people I talk to, if they're not like, if I mean, a lot of people I talk to are not my age. They're like younger than me, but they're like late 20s, you know, like they've right. already graduated college. I felt like those were sort of like, that was more common. But like, as I've like gotten into like a few other like younger groups, then it's like, whoa, some of these people are young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been kind of interesting, where like, I think the BTS fandom, like ARMY, is a little bit more diverse, or obviously diverse. And then some of these other newer bands have like, it definitely feels like a much younger crowd. Right. And then the other thing with some, at least with ARMY, that I found that has been kind of interesting, is that like for a lot of people, they haven't been fangirls like until they got into BTS. Right. So that's been like kind of interesting where they're like, this is the first time I've been like so obsessed about something, you know, or whatever. Like I'm reading fanfic or I'm, you know, making merch or I'm collecting merch or like holding events, like I'm meeting up with other fans. It's like I've met more people who are like, this is the first time I've been involved in a community like this where I'm like doing these like public things or like doing like the collector thing. And I was like, oh, interesting. Cause you know, like there are tons of merch collectors and like cons and stuff for like the typical, I guess, fandoms of like superheroes or like sci-fi type stuff, you know?
Right. So these are like kind of like an offshoot of that for different types of fandoms.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of conventions and events like this, do you attend these yourself? And do you ever get the fear of missing out if you don't?
Yes to both things. So I think, so for conventions, I've never done like the con like crawl. So I've really only just done, well, when I was younger, I did Anime Expo and then for a couple years. And then in more recent years, I've done like San Diego Comic Con, like the big one, and the LACC, LA Comic Con. But like, I don't like, but it's kind of like WonderCon is here too. And then, and you know, I know people love like Dragon Con. So I haven't really gone to like any of those other ones. Like it really was, at least for like the recent stuff, it really has just been like LA Comic Con and then like the big Comic Con.
Like the big well-known.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it gets much bigger than San Diego Comic Con. Like I feel like that is the convention.
Yeah, so I think, like, in that sense, I'm, like, because I go to the Comic-Con, like, San Diego Comic-Con, it helps with, like, the FOMO of everything else. Because I'm kind of, like, I've already gone to, like, the biggest one. And it is, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, pretty overwhelming because
yeah,
it's so many people, you know? It's, like, really cool, but I'm, like, after, like, 4 days of that, I'm, like, so tired. So, like I said, it really does help with FOMO because you're, like, I don't need to do this again for another year.
I can rest this weekend.
Yeah. So in that sense, like I do get FOMO when I see people at other cons. I've also done D23, the Disney one. Yeah. So I do get FOMO when I see people, like, especially like when Celebration happens, like I still haven't been to a Celebration. So like there are definitely cons where like I obviously, cause I follow a lot of people who go to cons, when it happens where I like, I get FOMO about it. But I also know, like I said, I'm an introvert. So I also know that like I really only have so much energy. And like thinking about that, I'm kind of like, I'm sad, but also I think I'm okay. I'll just look at people's videos and pictures.
Right. And you know, you remember you're getting a curated feed based on what people are posting. Like when you're in the thick of it, it's tiring.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's posting about how they, like, slept on the sidewalk at, like, 3 a.m. Like, they're not posting pictures of themselves, you know, like, freezing, like, in a sleeping bag because they're, like, in a Hall H line or whatever, you know? So, Yeah, Instagram's not reality. Just remember that.
It is true. I did, I haven't never done San Diego. I'm in New York, so I've done New York Comic Con, like, 10 years in a row. And this year it was just so crazy. And I was like, you know, you don't see me sleeping on the train, like on the way home. It's so tiring.
Yeah. Like you really do not hear me complaining for like 80% of the time I'm walking around the con, you know? So like you see the like picture of me, like, look at me, I'm in Hall H, but not the like 20 hours before of me like complaining about how like I have to be in a line.
I haven't eaten, my feet hurt, yeah, right? Yeah,
I'm sweating, you know?
It's just the glamour of social media, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, like, also how, like, I remind myself. I'm like, okay, but did I really want to be surrounded by all those people? Did I really want to, you know? I think a recent, so I went to, like, Lollapalooza last year to see one of, like, the K-pop bands I'm, like, super into. Tomorrow by Together, they, like, headlined. And it was because the year before, so 2022, was their first year at Lollapalooza. And one of the BTS members, J-Hope, was a headliner that year. So like my sister and I had like the thought, we were like, oh my God, are we going to go? Like then we get to see both of them.
Right.
And like, so incredible, like historic, right? Like the first time for both of them being at like Lollapalooza. But like, it was just like, so like they had like the live stream. So we watched the live stream of their performances and it was like super good. And so like we did not end up going that year, 2022, but it was like that thing where like she and I have done Coachella and I do actually like music festivals, but it is like, it is a very, it's like a con, like very specific amount of like mental preparation you have to do because you're like, okay, I'm going to be around like a ton of people, right? Like, what am I going to wear? It's outside. Like, what's the weather going to be like? Is it going to be super hot? Is it going to be really cold? You know, like, what's the restroom situation going to be like?
A lot of planning.
Yeah, like, all that stuff. And then, like, you just have to mentally be like, okay, like, if I want to be, like, in the front, how early do I have to go? Like, am I going to be standing in this spot for, like, 4 or 5 hours? That sort of stuff, right? So it is a lot of, like, mental prep you have to do. And like, so that year we didn't go because I think we were still like, I mean, my sister and I are still very like COVID safe with our like precautions. And like, I think that year it was like, I think the vaccines had like just been like rolled out, you know, or I mean, they've been rolled out, but it was just that thing where I was like, both of us were like not prepared to be in like a crowd of that size. And especially like squished together, even if it was like outdoors.
It's a lot, you know?
So it's like stuff like that where we're like, we really want to see them. And like when we watch the live stream, like so much FOMO. Okay. Like, let me tell you.
Of course.
So much FOMO. But it was that thing where I'm kind of like, but ultimately, even watching the live stream, like seeing that crowd, I was like, I could not be in that. You know, like you kind of have to like know yourself well enough to be like, yes, do I regret a little bit not going? Yes. But also at the same time, like seeing that crowd. And like, even now when I like look back on those performances and seeing that crowd, I'm like, I couldn't have been in that, you know?
Right.
Like it looked hot. Like it was a lot of people really close together. And like, I could not have been in that crowd. Right. So
it takes away a little bit of that excitement and joy, you know, thinking about what you have to go through in order to fangirl, if you will. You
yes.
know, it takes away a little bit of it.
Yeah. So yeah, I would just say like really know yourself of like what your limits are and what you're comfortable with. And then, and also once again, Instagram is not reality.
Yes. It's a very big thing to remember.
Yeah. It's very curated.
Yes. Very. Well, speaking of Instagram, I think we're coming up to the end here and
oh,
I'd
yes.
like you, can you give your Instagram handle for our listeners?
Yes. So I mainly post on my personal / the fashiony one is a kangaroo. So it's spelled like kangaroo, except it's a U at the end instead of two O's.
Okay. We'll link it and everything.
Yeah. So I won't spell it out, but it's essentially that. She'll link it. And then my other one is called Girl on the Roam. And that's more curated and it's mostly focused on like travel. Or so there's less photos of me, but I try to keep it more about travel and a little bit of like my writing. That's the other one. So yeah.
Excellent. Everyone make sure to give a follow. Alice, it has been absolutely wonderful to talk to you today. And thank you so much for taking time out.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. Cause like I said, I haven't talked to like anyone seriously in a while.
It's so much fun. This has been a great time for me.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Thank you.